Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on June the 19th. It is, of course, the oldest known celebration date of the end of slavery in the United States, June 19th, 1865. And I would love to bring in the other folks that are with me who have helped a lot of folks, and that is Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, guys.
Hey, good to be here.
It's good to be together with you, too.
It is. And as we discussed prior to the program, it was the end of slavery here, or the end of legalized slavery. But the statistics show that there are about 60,000 people in the United States who would be classified as literally sex slaves. Mm-hmm. There are also those that are in some kind of working slavery condition, and they essentially are kidnapped, and so it's not over. People are in it still, and there's an aftermath to all of it. And I want to tell you a little insight that I have about slavery from reading a book. I was reading this novel, Washington Black, and it's a wonderful book about a young slave that was set free. I just finished it the other day. But the man who essentially took him out of slavery and then kind of abandoned him, he said this to that man, and I thought this was really insightful. He said, "I have come to discover that you are more interested in the black mark that slavery puts upon the white man than you are in the suffering that is caused by slavery." So he was saying his motivation wasn't how horrible it was on the slave, but it was how horrible it made the white folks look. And in that case, in the novel, that really was true. But it just gave me such an insight. And here's what I believe. Anybody that, like me, talking about this, it's you can never express enough emotion, regret, sorrow, empathy, sympathy, anything for anybody who had to go through that. And as we all know, you pass down the results of trauma, and there was so much trauma there.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that has happened in this generation is that we've seen some folks really, really start to move totally beyond the just the residue of slavery. They have truly kind of been the transitional generation in their family. It existed not that long ago, and of course racism exists today, but I really see progress made there in some areas and setbacks in others. So I just want to say
and
this.
And Steve, if I can jump in real quickly, I mean, it just is such a stark reminder for me as I go back through the Gospel of Luke that Jesus's power was all about healing and forgiveness. It's the only way to restore our humanity and what God intended for us is both healing and forgiveness.
And you know, he was such an advocate for human dignity that he said, there is no slave. He was really trying to equalize our value. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do here at New Life, is we have people that come in that have lost their dignity through acts where they've been really hurt, mm-hmm. and we're all about helping to set them free.
We'd love to talk with you. 1-800-229-3000. Wish we could fully talk about this in its full depth.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. And if you want to join us on the radio, we're in the studio for, it's going to be 2 hours of us sitting here looking at each other. It's very exciting. And so come call us at 1-800-229-3000. And I'm going to go right here to Mary from Omaha, Nebraska. Mary, KCRO. What a station that is. How are you and how could we help you?
Oh, you guys, it's such an honor to be able to talk to you. I've called before asking about advice for other family members, but mm-hmm. this one is for me.
All right.
And I've come to see my mild brokenness, but I just don't know how to fix it. At my core, I know I believe a lie, but it's what's there, and it's that I'm not worth the time or attention, and I know why it's there, but I'm stuck, and I don't know how to change.
All right. What happened? What's going on? Be specific and be as concise as you can, because we want to give you as much help as we can.
Okay. Well, for starters, I don't ever remember as a child. I'm the oldest of three kids. I don't ever remember being touched or told that I was loved. My mom was suicidal a lot.
Wow.
Then I married a man that was a drug addict and an alcoholic. But then God got a hold of him and really changed his heart, and it was great. And then 10 years later, in a dream, I was instructed to ask him if he'd ever been unfaithful to me. And I laughed, just like several Bible characters. I laughed inside myself. And it was like, you know, it was like God said, no, ask him. And I did. And to his credit, he didn't have to be honest, but he did. And he had been unfaithful at least 3 times. And so my world at that point was yanked out from underneath me. And but
this was before he turned his life around, he was unfaithful?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And but I didn't deal with it at that time because we had one child of three left at home, and it wasn't his fault, and he deserved to have me present. And so until he left home, which was about 5 years ago, I didn't even begin to look at this. And so, you know, I have a great man. I feel really, really guilty for even feeling this way. I have a wonderful man now, mm-hmm. but I just don't feel like I'm, you know, I was really worth it to him or to anybody else. And I just, I mean, I just don't know how to open my heart. I sabotage myself all the time. It's
okay,
easier to, you know, if somebody gets too close, push them away.
Yeah. Okay, so now let me just clarify. He was really crummy, did crummy things, turned his life around, never disclosed that he had been unfaithful, and then 10 years after the turnaround, he tells you, yeah, I had been unfaithful, right?
Right.
But there's, and so you're going through all of this based on his behavior when he was acting like an idiot and didn't understand God really had a great thing for him and for you also. Is that right?
That's right. But I've also come to realize that he didn't put all that brokenness there, that my brokenness really began in my home of origin. And mm-hmm. it just added to the lie that was already there, that I wasn't worth time or attention or, yeah. you know, I wasn't precious to okay. anybody.
So what have you done to try to... I get that. What have you done so far to try to get help for this?
Well, I just try to keep reading, you know, different books. I've gone through workbooks on alcohol or addiction, on PTSD. Okay. And I'm not saying I haven't gotten some help from some of those things, but I just, sometimes I just feel like I can't, I just get stuck and I can't get completely
yeah, okay. so
out of it.
You called, we're going to give you some help here. And so I'm going to ask Sherry to get us started. What do you think is a way for her to get past this so that she's not living in the story of his past?
So, first off, I'm really glad that you came today and said, I'm going to ask a question about me. That was progress for you. Let me tell you what I think is going on. I think that you are somewhat invisible to you. I think you cope with your bad feelings by putting them in a box, by minimizing them, by denying them, and by trying to call something that was really bad, good. And so you try to think your way through your pain rather than feel your way, find your heart, and begin to grieve and ache and hurt over the harm that was done to you. I think you're somewhat cut off from that. And you're not alone. I just want you to know you're not alone in that, Mary. I think there are many people that try to cope with their pain by avoiding it, denying it, minimizing it, hiding it. But your heart can never heal until you feel. Mm-hmm. You've got to feel the hurt. And what are you afraid of? If you were to feel your hurt, if you were to be really honest with yourself, not invisible to you, and begin to unpack it, give yourself the time and attention, what do you think would happen?
I don't know, because, like I said, I think at the bottom line, it's like, well, I can't face it because I got what I deserved. I wasn't worth it anyway.
Oh, see. Okay, so you're like me. I'm what I call trauma squared, which means I had trauma in my family of origin. And then I, too, married someone that cheated and was unfaithful to me. But that lie went all the way back mm-hmm. to family right. of origin. But I had to start dealing with the present pain. I had to look at the affairs, and I had to really grieve those. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go back and work on family of origin stuff, too. But you're skipping the last 3 decades of your marriage and pointing to your family, saying that's the cause of the pain. And I'm saying, okay, yes, but the cause of your pain is living in your home, and you've never made it, you've never shared the ache with him. You've let him off the hook, and he hasn't really had to own and atone for what he's done. You haven't said, this broke my heart, it busted me. And so that's...
Well, we have begun to go there.
Okay.
And he does know, and I think until the youngest son left, I couldn't unleash that at all because I just had to hold it together.
Well Mary, you know? let me reiterate what Sherry was saying. You're telling me you grew up in some sort of an addicted home because you feel responsible for taking care of everyone but yourself. But
right.
eventually you break down and you're not good for anyone, including yourself. But inside, those wounds are real and they are present. And your figuring out brain, as Sherry was saying, I do this as well. I try to figure my pain out before I feel my pain out, and it just typically doesn't work that way as far as the healing process goes. I really think if you're able to jump into some real emotionally centered therapy to help you access what you're feeling underneath the shame, you use the shame of unworthiness to protect you from the pain that's underneath that. And that makes sense, because if we open that floodgate, there's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of hurt. And so getting involved in a caring process where you can experience those things and work them out emotionally is where your healing process and your freedom is going to occur.
I might even have you jump into a 12-step betrayal recovery group. You know, we have those here at New Life. I would have you get with some other women who are dealing with their raw pain so that you can begin to feel yours. It's not going to feel comfortable, but it's the path through this so you can get your heart back.
Right. Okay. I started parts of this, but I just can't completely get there. So
yeah.
I just wondered what your... what your suggestions were.
Keep going.
Yeah, and get some people around you that have felt pain that's similar, and it'll start peeling back those layers, and you might even want to like push away from it, but I say press into it.
Okay.
Right.
I'm glad you called. Intimate Deception coming your way. Now, I've got a question for you guys. I've heard others say, before a person is married to you, or even before they started dating you, what happened then doesn't concern you, and you have to put it away somehow. Does that same principle apply here when you're married to somebody and then they make this amazing transformation, but they don't tell you everything that happened? Is it our job then to put it in the right place, resolve it, or tell me about what you think. How does that, is it different because the person, it was pre-transformation or pre-rededication to Christ?
Well, I think that, you know, each of us respond to these situations uniquely. It's a hard blanket, but I also will say we're historical beings. We show up to our relationships with our history. And I love what Mylon and Kay constantly promote, and that is being PhD in each other's childhood. That really gains in the intimacy. And then going to a recovery concept that we are only as sick as our secrets. And so any secrets that we have, they still belong to us and are a part of that. Mm-hmm. And if we keep those, it's going to block intimacy. Now, if those secrets hurt our partner, then there is greater opportunity to work through those in a healing process, though it's really difficult, but you get something better in the end, and that's greater connection.
Well, okay, so what are you saying then as far as
I'm saying
responsibility? It would have been so helpful if he had fully disclosed everything at the point of his transformation. Sherry, what are you thinking here?
You know, I think generally pain often gets buried alive, and I think the bravest thing we can do is be willing to go back and unearth something. If we've never dealt with it and it's not bugging us, that's one thing. But this is leaking out. This is somebody who his hurt leaked out into the marriage in the form of drug addiction, alcohol, and serial cheating, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
So I say there's work for him to do.
Absolutely.
I mean,
that's my thought.
It's like sitting on a powder keg, you know? Like, why not go in and take that charge out?
And in recovery, if he's working the steps, why wasn't that revealed as a way to make restitution, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
Why
and
wouldn't you?
You know that, Steve, because you do this all the time in the recovery world, right? It is going through and making amends and having to list how I have harmed others. That whole process is so brave, but it cleans you out.
Yes.
Rather than puts a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah. So I sense that he was very appropriately remorseful and regretful of what happened. And I just wonder how remorseful and regretful he was of not really making it right or making amends to her. And then for her, you know, this sounds so uncaring, but my therapist just said this to me. You know, he says, you guys have heard this before, four is always greater than two, that people do things for themselves and not to you. And that just seems so cold here. He was having that affair or those affairs for him. He wasn't doing it to her, and yet he actually was because they were married together. But I don't think in his addiction he was saying, boy, I can't wait to go hurt my wife.
Yeah.
But it's hurtful when you're not enough of a presence that the person would say, oh, wow, I would never do that. That's what addiction.
Well, and that's why it's important to get into our pain that drives the addiction and get that into the light.
But what if you have a spouse like Mary that is not wanting to look at it and is afraid to look at it herself? That whole couple can stay stuck and never reconnect again.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Her book, I just gave it away, Intimate Deception. Oh, my goodness. This book, it's unlocking some things. And let me just say this about Mary and her husband. Work is to be done. But if both people will work, don't shut down, keep going, there can be a great breakthrough there. Let's go to Brenda, Boyertown, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Brenda, you're on.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm going to thank you for your comments about June 19th, 1865, Juneteenth. Great-great-grandfather was the last slave in my family, and the story goes that he was, he didn't know exactly how old he was. He said he was about nine years old, nigh on to 10 years old, when freedom came. And so I'm calling to because I'm now retired, but for 23 years, starting in 1993, I was the first African-American teacher in at that time about a decade.
Wow.
In a school that was led by the KKK.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Talk about change, girl. That's amazing. So,
okay, how many years ago was that? How many years ago was that?
I started in 1993. And at that time, the KKK was actively recruiting in full regalia on the street corners.
Wow. And
okay, I'm sorry. Town. I thought you said 1993.
Yes.
Yeah.
1993.
Yeah, I knew
That's
you
what
said
I started
that.
There.
It just boggles my mind. Boggles
it
my
boggles
mind.
Everybody's. I didn't know at the time when I applied for the job there and was hired that was the full case.
Wow.
I would have been like Jonah and gone the other direction. Because I was told, you knew this was a white school when you came here. Mm. Why do you stay? You're the one who's different. You write me up for discipline. I'll kick your butt and bring the KKK into the school after you. I'll smack you. I was spit on, called nigger. I was hit in the head and knocked unconscious at graduation, but of course nobody saw it.
Jeez.
I'm so sorry.
A major smear campaign by the adults. Mm-hmm. But let me say, before I say that, overwhelmingly, 93, maybe 95% of my students and their parents were really good, decent people.
Yeah.
But the problem was the administrators, the white teachers, and that 5-7% of the, Ninevites. And that was the issue. And so then nothing was ever done to protect me or to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this smear campaign where the teachers and others would spread rumors and poison the students' minds and hearts against me.
And
at the beginning of this semester, the students would come in having heard all these horrendous things about me. I didn't know their names and faces.
So Brenda, let me jump in really quickly. So there is a lot of hurt and pain and trauma there. My question to you,
definitely.
How has your faith got you or helped you through that process?
I went in there every day saying, yea, though I walk. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And one day I found a plaque against a wall of a church in the town where I'd grown up, and I went over to, I call it my burning bush moment, because it was a horrendous rainstorm, and I was on my way to the dentist and had to park along this church and not near where I wanted to be. But I was just drawn by the headlights of my car into this the bushes to this plaque. And the plaque read, and I stood there in this torrential rainstorm copying it down. Place all your confidence in God.
Wow.
And it is God who will protect you in his special way at all times. And then it does not matter what others say of you or do to you, for it will all turn out to your advantage. Divine providence never fails in matters undertaken for his love. And it was by St. Vincent de Paul. And so the family, the gentleman was the president of the local NAACP, and he and his wife and grandson supported me. Well, he died a couple years ago, but his grandson still helps me. He would make me recite that to him every day.
Wow.
Well, let me just say this.
They would call me.
Your faith in the midst of what you did is as astounding as I've said before. When I was a voice major, my favorite songs were spirituals, which, are on the pentatonic scale, 5 notes. And it's just astounding to me, always will be, that the folks that were mistreated so horribly could come up with some of these amazing songs of faith that were so rich. They did not lose their faith. I'm sure some did. But I'll tell you, it is easy. To be a Christian compared to what you have been through, what they went through. And what a great thing that you called and helped us really acknowledge the reality that can still exist. And
yes.
Thank you for that, Brenda. Well, really appreciate
thank you.
It.
And I hope that you will, you know, continue to help people face this reality. Actually, I started listening to to New Life Live through WBYN in Boyertown when through at the school when I was being ostracized.
Right. Gotta go.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and I just am so glad you called. I'm reminded we just had an event, and I spoke at the Museum of the Bible, and then we did something. They had an exhibit there. I didn't even know this thing existed. But it was called the Slave Bible, and they had taken out parts of the Bible that warned against someone not paying his workers, and it
goodness,
and it was such an interesting and heartbreaking thing to see this put together. Obviously, people thought the Bible was important; they put it together. And so much of Scripture left out, and I was so taken back from it. I couldn't believe it, and I had heard about, you know, Thomas Jefferson or people taking things out of the Bible that he didn't like, and I thought it was like from a perspective of, he wasn't comfortable with that or whatever. It was used to kind of keep the mentality of the slave focused on the work and not anything else. It was
which
horrible.
I would consider religious abuse. That's
without
really
doubt.
Religious
toxic faith to the max.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything more of taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean,
there
like,
you go.
Do
but
you
see, that's,
have no fear of
right.
God?
Yeah,
that's
know?
Right.
Hey, you
yeah.
know, Steve, can we send Brenda your Life Recovery Bible since it's in the museum? That would be really
absolutely.
A fun way to you know do some restitution around that. Oh,
I will.
Bible.
I'll send it to her. Larry Sonnenberg was there with us with some of our faithful supporters. Larry, today, what is our big challenge for today here at New Life?
My big challenge is overcoming that call from Brenda right now. That just that was something. But
yeah. It really was. Yeah, I'm so glad she called.
Our challenge is to get our matching gift matched. And we've started, you know, the progress is increasing. I'm really appreciative of that. We're about 11-12% matched, and so we got a ways to go. But, you know, Brenda was talking about slavery and reminding us of that. And, there's a different kind of slavery that we deal with here, and that's people who are slaves to their addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy at our workshop a couple of workshops ago, and he said, "This conference was amazing. It changed my life. The speakers showed me how much I hurt my wife. I am going to work on being the man my wife wants and deserves. Jim really helped me dedicate my life to Christ." Jim was his counselor. "He was sure positive and comforting. I want to thank him. I truly believe I can beat porn with God's help and with my new brothers."
Mm-hmm.
And, the thing I love about this is the guy's working on his porn addiction, but he feels totally reconnected and loved and dedicated his life to Christ. That's what it's all about.
It really is.
So it's for those reasons that we come to you and ask you if you would support New Life. New Life, it's all we want to do is help people get, think about what Brenda experienced physically and emotionally. We're trying to help that with people who are slaves to other things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that, every gift will be doubled. We hear people say all the time, "I wish I could give more." Now you can. Make a $50 gift, it's $100. Make $10, it's $20. $5,000 is $10,000. Whatever you give, it will be doubled. And it will make a difference for these people that are hurting that need help. So,
hey, Larry, let me mention this. This thing popped up on Facebook for me, and it said that Facebook would give $2 to the charity of my choice. So I clicked and said, "Hey, give it to New Life." And then this thing came up and said, "Why don't you raise some money for your favorite charity?" So last I looked, I wrote this thing and said, "Hey, how about you give to New Life?" Told what we did, and it was at $500 or something like that the last time I looked. So I just thought that was so cool. So the reason I'm saying it is, when your birthday comes up, if you are on Facebook, think about it, and maybe it'll help
say
us
new
a little
life.
Bit.
Yeah.
There. Anyway, the thing that we do is we try to set the captives free. And there are about 60,000 sex slaves that are absolutely being tortured and traumatized every day for only one reason, that there are people still caught up in the addiction of sex and the perversions. And if we can just get to enough of those people and get them out of being users, then that number of sex slaves goes down. It's horrible what's happening out there, and we want to fix it. But I'll tell you what else is horrible, is for a person to struggle with sexual addiction or some kind of obsessive perversion, and then, or obsessive perversion and compulsive behavior, and not know what to do. We can tell them what to do. We've got the answer. Your help helps us to reach them. Please call us 1-800-NEWLIFE. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to another caller. And how about we talk with Anessa, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hello, Anessa. How are you?
I'm hanging in. Thank you. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I've called before, and my spouse and I have come through the loss of a child 2 years ago. I won't say come through, but we're in a better place, if you can say better place, but our day-to-day is more tolerable. Loss of my mom has gotten better. We've gone to a couple of groups. He went to the Everyman's Battle at the beginning of the year, and we went to the Marriage Restore before that. I'm not sure if that was the best order, but it was beautiful after coming out of that that weekend with the couple intimacy one. And so we started going to counseling and doing the work that you hope you will get to see out of those sessions or whatever. Neither one of us joined any other groups at that particular point. We're seeing a New Life Live counselor now. But I'm struggling with, I finally got to a point where I don't know that I ever wanted to change him, although maybe my actions probably reflected that. So I'm done with those kind of behaviors. But what I'd like to know is, we've gotten to a place where stonewalling isn't always happening, but when it does happen, it just takes me back so much so that it's kind of frustrating because of how it impacts our children. Me, of course. I think when y'all were talking to not the last lady, who, thank God she said what she did, because with what he's done in the way of his addiction, you know. We could be called some of those people too, you know. Not acting out anymore that I'm aware of in the way that he was doing, but, and I hadn't seen anything, but there's been some new acting out. And there's been some comments that were a little bit alarming. And so I know before in different things, y'all have always said, watch their behavior. Because before I'd always questioned, do I want to stay with this person?
Right.
And
okay.
I do.
Ask us a question about what's going on. Because he's obviously relapsing, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally, mentally, he's in trouble here.
So what do you do? I mean, you can't just keep your head buried if they're stonewalled. What are some practical ways then to...
Let's say his name is Bob. This would be my first approach. Bob, we went to the marriage intensive, when you came back from Every Man's Battle, here are the things you did, here are the things you said, and here's how I felt. And it was really amazing. This past month, here are some things you've said, and here are some things you've done that really concern me, and it fills me with fear, and I'm just wondering why. And I'm hoping that maybe you could go to a meeting that you're not going to, go back to Every Man's Battle a second time, or we go to the Intimacy Intensive again, but I'm really afraid. Let me see what Sherry would say, and then Chris. What would be an approach from you, Sherry?
You know, I agree with you, Steve. And Anessa, you know, I think once there is the hurt and the porn and all of that, when there's trust that's been broken, I think the couple intuitively just wants to be done with it. They just want to, like, be past it. Yeah. And I think they don't often go deep and wide. But I have seen... And I'm sure Chris has got this experience as well, because we work a lot with y'all, you know, those that are struggling with sexual integrity and partners that have been hurt in the betrayal. Change happens in a crock pot.
Yeah.
It does not happen
in
a microwave. And so what a crock pot looks like is he's in a 12-step group. He's facing guys every week that he has got to be vulnerable with. He's talking about his mind. He's talking about how he wants to act out. Or he's talking about how he is acting out.
Well, and he stonewalls in his fear and his shame. And that's what's happening is a freeze response. So he's got to be talking about his fear and his shame. And anything that may be underneath that, like potential acting out.
And then you've got to stay in that. You've got to stay in your own recovery in order for you to keep your eyes open and for you to be healing through this, right? And so... It's a deep and wide process, and I love the fact that you've gone to our weekends. Those are great kickstarts, but the work starts during the weekend and after. And Patrick Harnes said it takes 3 to 5 years to heal from a sex addiction.
Yeah.
That's not a microwave.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's a crock pot.
That's an average.
Yeah.
With an average problem, not so severe. We'll be back after this.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. So much hurt and so much pain, but there is hope, and I hope and pray that Anessa's husband and Anessa, they'll get back in to some kind of a deeper program, want to go back to one of our events, do more, not less, make the brave move to address it and ask for something else there.
Yeah, and Steve, one of the things that I see over and over and over, and it makes sense, that people want to get better and they want to get better super quick. And in my own story, it was about 18 months into my recovery, and I hit my own wall, and I was really frustrated. I was really discouraged, and I felt like I should be much further along in feeling healthy and connected and better about life, but I was still really struggling with a lot of depression and some other obsessions, and I was talking to my sponsor about this, and he told me anything less than 3 years is early recovery. Now, I'm not prone to violence, but I wanted to choke him out there. You know, I'm like,
sure,
you got to be kidding
right.
me.
So
but I look back now, and I see it, and I'm like, now I think, of course, anything less than 3 to 5 years is early recovery. But one of the things is we're trying to restore true experiences of love. And one thing that love does is it always perseveres. We've got to keep going. We got to keep hoping. We got to keep pushing forward and keep working towards freedom. And even June 19th, 1965 was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Freedom takes time, and we got to stay with it.
Amen.
Hey, hey, Steve, could we send them a double pack worthy of her trust, and then My Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal? They've been to two of our workshops, and if we could get them those books,
okay. We'll do it.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right, I want to. We've mentioned Intimacy Intensive. It's in Washington, D.C., not this weekend, but the following weekend, and we would love for you to come. Things get better. Relationships get better when you come with willingness and humility, both. It just changes so much.
I want to say from my own experience, Steve, from being there and having been a counselor, I think people have this idea that it's the intimacy weekend is somehow just about sex. And so they feel like it's not about, but if you are struggling with connection, if you are stuck, if you it could be in any area, emotionally, physically, sexually, it could be any area, come. That's what the weekend is about, is how to help people get unstuck. And that's what my experience is I mean, people came in and then by the end of the weekend, they're like learning how to talk and care and find their hearts with each other again.
It was through that experience. My wife and I would circle the same conflict mountain over and over and over again without a solution, getting more and more painful. And it was through that weekend where we were able to actually see and talk about the mountain, and that it really did become a molehill in which we can conquer after that weekend.
Amen. All right. So it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come. Ask about it. We have scholarship dollars available. Come and join us. Now, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to do another program right after this. I'm going to take one final caller here. But hold on. I'll get to your call. But right now, Tammy, San Bernardino, Sirius XM, don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get your call in. How could we help?
Hi, thank you. Apologize, I'm getting over a little cold right now, but I have a situation concerning what you were just talking about. The intimacy workshop sounds beautiful for my situation. However, my marriage has become basically celibate. My husband and I haven't been intimate since about 2013. And that year, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer and had to have something done about that. But after which, you know, the doctors were trying to get him back into the game as far as intimacy was concerned. And he just wasn't having it at all and hasn't want to do anything as far as our marriage. We've been married for 27 years now. So I'm basically at a point where it's just a point of contention and it's... Okay. My question was just what to try to do about that. I tried to get him to come to one of your marriage workshops, and he's declined to do that. So I'm just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because I don't want to live out the rest of my days.
Okay. I'm with you. And we've talked about the importance of intimacy at all levels. Chris, what are you thinking here? He had prostate surgery.
Yeah.
No more interest.
Well, Tammy, is there anything else other than the prostate surgery that you know of going on? Does he struggle with pornography or any other maybe sexually broken behavior?
Not that I know of, no. Okay. I've asked him about that. No.
You know, and sometimes depression comes right after a surgery like that because it's such an important part of a man's life, you know? That part is a really important part of their life, and so there's a real letdown, like loss, that comes from it. And I want to mention one thing before you jump in. I have never seen Mylan and Kay as vulnerable in my life as I do at this intimacy intensive, because I'm not telling you how old they are, but they're in a stage of life where they have had to learn how to connect sexually in some very loving and unique ways, and they bring that on the weekend. That's not something that they put out there often. It's so intimate, but there has got to be some new way of connection developed between you and your husband, you know, post that surgery.
Yeah. And when we lose our sexual functions and desires and ability, that also comes with a body and bodies and shame. And that we lose testosterone or lose that drive, and that has been such a part of being a male. Not always a healthy, but if we can make it a healthy part, it's an essential, awesome part.
Yeah.
And when we lose that, shame comes in, and then it will shut down the entire system.
So I wouldn't talk about sex with him. I would talk about healthy connection. I would invite him to a weekend of connection, lay the sex aside so he's not coming with performance anxiety.
Yeah,
right. There is a program, you can get it when it's Sherry and Alice were on. They talked about this for women, not withholding sex from men. It's based on 1 Corinthians 7. But everything in there, it isn't just about women not withholding. It's about men not withholding the rights from a woman. It goes both ways. What does that mean? That means it's so important you need to work on it if it doesn't work. And there's a difference between sexual intercourse and being sexual. And if all sex is sexual intercourse, then you probably missed the whole point anyway. And if the absence of sexual intercourse here creates such a dilemma and it shuts down the spiritual and the emotional connection, then you can see how important it is to be dealing with somebody who can help you with it. That's what we want to see. We've always said here, more bad sex doesn't help anything, but ignoring this problem, Satan really does use it against us. Call us if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us for the Intimacy Intensive in Washington, D.C. Misty and I will be there. Mylan and Kay will be there. It's going to be an amazing experience for so many people. So many folks had no idea they could make so much progress in such a short length of time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number that you can call to support us. And there is a matching gift. We say thank you with an amazing insulated tote for the grocery store or for camping, or picnics, but also $30 a month to join Club New Life, and we send you 8 books, the best of the best in those books. We're going to do another program right after this, 1-800-229-3000. Come join us, 1-800-229-3000. We love you. Think freely today in honor of emancipation. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.